And we are back. My name is Glenn Wessel. Before the break, we were discussing some of the schemes, the tax evasion schemes that seem to run rampant around this time of the year. And we were discussing any number of ways you can land yourself in a heap of trouble with large civil fines, up to $25,000 just for playing the game, plus other civil penalties for the amounts of the tax or based on the amounts of the tax that you would have otherwise paid. Previous to the break, we were talking about an administrative summons from the IRS to appear, and that people sometimes argue that the summons can be ignored based on various aspects of misinterpreted or tortured law. And the reality is that a summons is nothing more than an administrative device that the IRS can, in fact, use to force a person to appear or testify or produce documents. The IRS has that power through statute or by statute. And to the extent anyone who should appear doesn't appear or produce documents, they can be held in contempt of court. So that's a bad deal. What's the next category of tax evasion schemes, Rob?
So our next category will be what comprises taxable income and what comprises gross income, what could fall into either of those two categories. And one contention is that wages, tips, and other compensation received for personal services are not income.
Yeah, that's a specious argument that has never really had any success in the courts. Basically, the argument is to assert that wages, tips, and other compensation received for personal services or in exchange for personal services are not income because there's supposedly no taxable gain when a person exchanges labor for money. The idea is, let's say that you buy a stock or a piece of real estate for $10,000 and you later sell that same stock or piece of real estate for the same price. Well, your basis, your so-called cost basis in that asset is $10,000. And when you sold it, you received that same $10,000. You really have not realized any profit. Since you haven't realized any profit, you don't have to pay taxes on that. The notion here is that a person has a cost basis in that person's labor, which is actually not borne out by anything in the tax code. So the idea is that if you do $100 worth of work for someone and that person gives you $100 in return, you had a cost basis of $100 in your effort. So therefore, your taxable gain is zero. The problem with that argument is that the tax code doesn't just tax gains. It also taxes income from whatever source. So there's actually a distinction between gains and ordinary income and interest income and things like that. So that's an argument that is really never held up at all. There's a different approach to that argument that's based on the 16th Amendment that says that that amendment does not authorize a tax on wages and salaries, but only on gain or profit. So once again, for federal income tax purposes, gross income really refers to all income from whatever source is derived, and it includes compensation for services, unless the taxpayer can establish that it is specifically exempted through some other part of the tax code. So that argument won't work either. What's the next contention, Rob?
That only foreign source income is taxable.
Yep. Some people maintain that there is no federal statute that imposes a tax on income derived from sources within the United States by citizens or residents of the United States. All right. What they argue instead is that the federal income taxes are excise taxes imposed only on non-resident aliens and foreign corporations for the privilege of receiving income from sources within the United States. So based on that, they conveniently exclude themselves. So the law says, once again, that the concept of gross income means all income from whatever source is derived and includes compensation for services. And in general, all citizens of the U.S., wherever resident, and all resident aliens are liable to the income taxes imposed by the code. So there really is no escape. There are many, many court decisions that corroborate that. And it's just a specious argument that will not work. Although, when you hit these internet websites that are promoting these, they seem to suggest to the casual reader that you might have a real out. Next contention, Rob.
Federal Reserve notes are not income because they're not valid legal currency.
Right. This is a beautiful argument. The idea is that because the Federal Reserve notes are not gold or silver, and that they may no longer be exchanged for gold or silver because we're no longer on the gold standard, this argument misinterprets the U.S. Constitution, whereas, in fact, the law says that Congress is empowered to, quote, coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures. The Constitution prohibits the states from declaring as legal tender anything other than gold or silver. This is where the argument comes from, because states can't make anything into legal tender that's not gold or silver, but Congress has the power to declare the form of legal tender for the federal system. And just because states can't do it doesn't allow you to get away from the federal tax system. And just as an aside, Congress has, in fact, declared Federal Reserve notes as legal tender. So that argument has been shot down many, many times and will not work. What's the next category of arguments, Rob?
Well, that would be people trying to interpret the Internal Revenue Code in certain ways, certain phrases in it. They're trying to interpret them differently to exclude themselves from it.
Right. So one way would be to suggest that the tax is only applicable to citizens of the United States and that you're not a citizen. And that's another argument that's not going to work. Well, I can see that we're bumping up against a break here. Before we get to that break, I want to remind our listeners that if you have any interest in kind of thumbing through various podcasts, all of the hosts that are aired on WWNC have their image right on the website. You can click on it and go to the podcast. Same is true for us. Check it out. There's a lot of good information that's easily accessed right there. It's WWNC.com, which happens to be the Talk of the Mountains. We'll be back in just a moment.